Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the nuts and bolts of business. Each of my guests will delve into a key aspect of business. My first guest is a small business expert who tackles the thorny problem of funding your business in today's economy. We'll discuss his latest book, Get Your Business Funded: Creative Methods for Getting the Money You Need. My second guest looks at the emerging importance of internet video and how it can propel small businesses forward on the internet. We'll talk with the CEO of Stream It TV. My third guest is one of the country's premier motivators for small business owners. We'll explore the value in keeping your true identity. As she puts it, be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Steve Strauss is the country's leading small business expert. He's an internationally recognized lawyer, a columnist, a speaker, and an author of 15 books. Steve's highly syndicated business column, Ask an Expert, appears weekly on USAtoday.com. He also has a small business column for Microsoft and AT&T. Steve is a regular guest on MSNBC's small business show titled Your Business. And he is also the president of Strauss Group, Strauss Law Firm, Strauss Seminar Company, and Strauss Syndication. He has a Southern California connection. He graduated from UCLA, the Claremont Graduate School, the Coro Foundation, and the McGeorge School of Law. Welcome to the show, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being our guest, and I'd love to talk to thought leaders because your book tickled me. It was some very creative ways to find funding for business, and let's face it, it's difficult to find funding today. So right at the heart of the Great Recession that we've just come through, it was a lockup, really, of the credit markets that slowed businesses down. Nobody was lending to anybody. We had limited access to the traditional funding methods like banks and so forth, and that even persists today. So a lot of displaced employees who got fired or laid off during the recession, they're now looking to start their own businesses. Existing businesses may be looking to expand and so forth, add jobs, hopefully. So talk to us about the traditional sources of funding, like bank funding, bank loans, lines of equity, credit, and also right. SBA loans. What's happening there?
Well, absolutely. In fact, the Great Recession is what spurred this book as well. My publisher came to me a year and a half ago or so and said, Steve, money is so tight, and they had saw some column I had written about creative financing. They said, why don't you come up with every possible creative way that you can to finance a business? So that's what I did, in this book, Get Your Business Funded. I have about 25 to 30 different ways to fund your business. Now, as you mentioned, there are traditional ways, and before the Great Recession, the most typical way was using credit cards, and we all love the home equity, ATM.
It sure.
Never seemed to turn off, right?
Right.
And I have an associate who, in fact, that's how he ran his whole business. He would use credit cards for 2 years, and then his business, his house went up in value every 2 years, and he would just refinance his house, take out the money, pay off his credit cards, and keep going. And he did that for a long time until he couldn't do that anymore. So, banks are still lending. For example, I know, small Bank of America, they're in the process of hiring 1,000 small business bankers right now. Now, are there more hoops to jump through than you had to before? You bet. Is it a little more challenging and it's a little harder to get that money? Absolutely true. But some of the old methods are, of course, still around. You know, one of the things I love about banks is what's their job? Their job is to lend money to business, mostly. But also, besides that, you know, other sources are around, too. The best news of the Great Recession, there's not really any good news that came out of the Great Recession, but one of the good pieces is there are lots of new creative things like crowdfunding and peer-to-peer lending and microfinance and anything else like that that we could talk about.
And I want to talk about each of those, Steve. That makes a great deal of sense because those are the exciting areas for me. But before we jump into that, let's pick up on the comment that you're making with your friend who used his credit cards to finance his business. Does it make sense to use credit cards to finance a business right now because of the uncertainty with the Dodd-Frank Consumer Financial Protection Act?
Well, I think, you know, you have to be smart about how you're going to use your credit cards. As you mentioned, I went to law school. I practiced law for 10 years, although I have since come to my senses. And
a recovering attorney. I love it.
I am a recovering attorney, exactly. But, you know, when I did a lot of financial law, actually. I did a lot of helping businesses start and find financing, helping individuals, you know, get out of debt. And with regard to credit cards, the issue is you got to be smart about it. You know, nobody ever wants to run up their credit cards too much. And they usually do it to a point where they think they can handle it. But then something in life happens usually, like you lose a job or your spouse gets sick or something else happens. And then all of a sudden that credit card debt is bigger than you thought it was. So the key for the small business is you have to do it prudently and come up with a plan, pay them back as quickly as you can. What's great about credit cards for business is you don't need anyone's approval. If you go to the bank, you have to show a great business plan, right? If you get an angel investor, you have to show a great business plan. You have to show a great team. You have to, you know, impress somebody. With credit cards, one of the beauties of them and why they're still a popular choice is you don't need anyone's approval to use your credit card. But what I would tell you is have a plan. It's the smartest thing you can do because falling into the credit card trap where all of a sudden all you're doing is paying interest is just the biggest mistake you can make financially almost.
Very sound advice. My guest is Steve Strauss, author of the book Get Your Business Funded, Creative Methods for Getting the Money That You Need. And Steve, you mentioned in so many different funding sources, but one that you haven't touched on that I'd like you to expand on a little bit is the pros and cons of using your retirement account to finance a new business or business expansion.
All right, well, let's start with the cons, if I could.
Okay, go.
The cons are, it's your retirement account. Come on now, I'm an entrepreneur, and you may remember back in the day, I grew up in Southern California, as you said. My dad owned a chain of carpet store. It was called Banner Carpets. Maybe some of your listeners heard of it.
Sure.
And, when I was a young boy, I was asked to write a story about what my dad did for a living, and I couldn't wrap my little seven-year-old brain around retail carpet store owner. I didn't really know how to say that, so I said, Dad, well, what do I say that you do for a living? And then, 1965 or something, he said, well, Stevie, I'm an entrepreneur. And that, especially for, at that time, and of course, as a kid, I had never heard a word like that before. An entrepreneur, what? He said, well, an entrepreneur, it's a person willing to take a risk with money to make money. A person willing to take a risk with money to make money. So, risk is part of the gig, and I think it's part of the fun of the gig for most people who go into business. But there's acceptable risks, and there's unacceptable risks. And so the reason I led with the cons on your retirement account is, I think for a lot of people, that might be an unacceptable risk. You got to be careful. I love taking a chance, but you have to be willing to lose that money. That is really what you have to think about. If you're willing to take that chance and you want to pull that money out, there are ways in the book I talk about doing it without taking a big hit financially, without having to pay the tax and the penalties. There actually are ways to use your IRA or 401k to fund a business without taking a penalty. So that's great. And the good news is you are, again, going to have some money available to you that you otherwise wouldn't have. I tell the story in the book of a guy who used his retirement funds to start buying real estate. And he started with a little duplex, and he had a plan. And then, I just heard about this guy last week bought a $1 million building. And it all started with him using his retirement funds in a smart financial way for his business. So you got to be careful, but it can work if you do it right.
All right. That's good. My guest is Steve Strauss. Steve, you may not know it, but here in Ventura, we've got an excellent group of angel investors. They're called Maverick Angels. So what are some of the pros and cons of seeking angel investors to help you start or expand your business?
Right. So let's talk for a second about what an angel investor is. And it is what it sounds like, which is, someone out there with the money who's going to invest in you and your team and your dream and your vision. That's an angel, right? In business terms, that makes that person an angel. Usually an angel is someone who's made a lot of money in a certain industry, and they're going to want to reinvest their money back into that industry. And it's not always true, but it's definitely sometimes true. And increasingly, as you just mentioned, angels are banding together and working together to find great investments. It used to be you could go to your attorney or your CPA or your network and try and find some investors that way. But as the internet has changed everything, it has changed angel investing in, as well. And you can, in fact, go online, find some angel networks in Ventura County, in Santa Barbara, in Southern California, wherever you are, really, and join that network and pitch them your idea. What's great about an angel investment is you're going to get one, if you get the investment, some substantial money, you know, some six-figure money and up. And two, you're going to get some great brain trust. They're going to want your business to succeed. And so they're going to help you. Now, the downside is you're going to, you know, you're going to have to share some of your business with these people. Essentially, there's two kinds of ways to fund your business. One is debt financing, which is what we were just talking about with getting a loan. You're taking on a debt. And now this is equity financing, which is instead of paying the loan back, you're bartering away part of your business, part of the equity of your business to get that money. So you have to be willing to take on partners. And I think that is the biggest downside. You know, can you work with these people? Do you want to work with these people? Can you share? Do you want to give up board memberships on your board to these people? They may even want to take a management role. Now, that's a big deal. So you're bringing in new people, and that can be risky. The best thing you can do to get an angel investment is have a great team. Everything that I found when I talk to angel investors about what they're looking for, yeah, they want to see that you have a great plan and that you're going to be able to make money or that you're making money and that you have some kind of secret sauce, you know, something that you're doing, you know, different. But really what they want to see is that you have a great team that can execute the plan. You have that, and then you're going to get some nice money from the angels.
Ah, that is great. My guest is Steve Strauss. We're talking about his book, Get Your Business Funded. Steve, earlier in the conversation, you were talking about some of the newer forms of business funding, and that's really the reason that I invited you on the show. It's because these are new and they are exciting. So let's start with a couple that you just threw out in your answer. Give me the pros and cons of what's known as peer-to-peer lending. First of all, what is it and what are the pros and the cons?
Yeah, peer-to-peer lending is something that you have to be careful with. It started out with, you know, gangbusters. I think Harvard Business Review called it the best new idea of 2007. And peer-to-peer lending is where you would go to a peer-to-peer lending site. If you just Google that term, you'll find different ones out there. List your project or list your business, and people will invest it. You say, I'm going to give you a 15% return, you know, within 2 years, and here's how much money I'm looking for. I'm looking for a $5,000 investment from 10 people, $50,000 total, something like that. And if you impress people, look at they like what they see on the website. They like your vision for the business. They read your business plan. Your peers will lend to you, which is why it's called peer-to-peer lending. And so then it goes through that website, you know, monitors the loan. They take their little percentage, and away you go. So it sounds like a great idea, right?
Right.
Yeah, you know, you're going to get people. To invest in people and invest in your business. And there's lots of small investors who might want to do that. They're not VCs, they're not angels, but they do like entrepreneurs and they want to, you know, make some more money. So they're going to invest. The problem is when you lend money in that kind of level, the problem that that industry had, at least previously, is that the Securities Exchange Commission actually becomes involved with SEC because you're selling, you could be, in fact, it could be considered that you're selling a security. So all this, and a lot of people made early investments into these things and to plans that sounded great but were better on paper than they were in practice. So that's why, although peer-to-peer lending hit like gangbusters in 2007, it fell back. Some sites got into trouble. But now they've kind of regrouped, and they're being run a lot more professionally, and there's a lot of standards that you have to go through to get your project or business listed in one of these sites. But if you do, it definitely is a way to raise money, and it's a creative way because you're going online, finding people, you know, the crowd is lending to you.
All right. Now, what's the difference between peer-to-peer lending and crowdfunding?
Right. Now, crowdfunding, I think, is the favorite thing I found when I wrote this book. When I wrote Get Your Business Funded. It's a really cool idea. So crowdfunding is the same kind of idea to start with, where you're going to go to a different crowdfunding site. One is called Kickstarter.com, another is Indiegogo.com. There's one for bands called Sellaband.com. Yeah, there's all sorts of ones for different industries. You list your business project, and you list how much you're trying to raise. Smaller amounts. Usually, you'll say, I'm going to $50, $100, and $250, $250, something like that. But instead of paying people back, you're going to give them some perk of your business. That's why it's cool. So you're raising money, but it's not typically a security because you're not taking out a loan. instead, I'll use this fellow band. Let's say that you're a concert promoter and you have a band that you want to put a concert on. You need to raise some money for it. The label's not giving you the money. You go to that website, list the concert, and all of a sudden, and you have a compelling video. Well, people, and say for $50, we'll send you an autographed copy of the CD of the band. And for $100, you'll be able to come backstage and meet the band after concert. For $250, you get both those things, or something like that, right? And all
right.
of a sudden, somebody who likes that band says, "That's pretty cool. I'd love to meet the band for $100." So they invest $100 in the concert. You get a bunch of people doing that. The crowd is funding your business, and the best part is you're not paying it back. So with money, you're paying it back with some perk of your business. So it's a very interesting idea to either pre-sell a product or raise capital for a project or a business.
That is cool. My guest is Steve Strauss, author of the book, Get Your Business Funded. Steve, another one that is very popular in the news, which is called microfinance. What is microfinance? What are the pros and cons of that?
Yeah, microfinance, originally when people think of microfinance, maybe you think about Kiva.org, or the Grameen Bank, Mohammed Yunus won the Nobel Peace Prize, I think 2006 or so, for the Grameen Bank. And what is the Grameen Bank? Well, it invented microfinance. And it's, you know, back then and in third world countries, it is the idea of lending someone, you know, $50 to buy a cow so that they become self-sustainable, right? It's a micro businesses in third world countries. Well, microfinance has come to the United States. The difference is we've added a couple of zeros onto the amounts that we consider microfinance. So you could get a $1,500 loan or a $25,000 loan. The Small Business Administration, SBA, makes micro. They have specifically a microfinance micro loan program. And I think microloans now, after the changes in the law last year, go up to $50,000 via through the SBA. But there's small individual lenders on the local level who do microfinance. Usually they're nonprofits, and they're going to lend you a little bit of money. What's great about that microfinance is that you can have worse credit. You don't have to be AAA-rated credit rating to get a microfinance loan. They're smaller, they're easier to pay back, they're more manageable. So what's great, and with any of these things, what probably people are going to have to do is cobble together, you know, all sorts of different ideas to get the money you need. Now, it may have been back in the day, you can just go out and get the home equity loan we talked about and fund your business. But that's less true today. What you're going to do is probably get a microfinance loan for part, and then you'll crowdfund part of it. And maybe you'll go to Uncle Joe and get a friends and family loan for part of it. And you know, you've cobbled together three or four different ways to finance your business, and then you'll be able to fund it. So microfinance is just another avenue that you can go down. And it's a good one because it's money that's available. There's a lot of microfinance money out there, in fact, available right now.
Oh, that's good. My guest has been Steve Strauss, author of the book, Get Your Business Funded, Creative Methods for Getting the Money That You Need. Steve, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book?
Well, I want people to know that, in fact, there's a lot of choices available. People usually think that there's, you know, bank loans and credit cards and friends and family. That's the only three ways people know of to finance a business. But in fact, there are all these different things that we talked about today and to 20 more. And so I write in a really easy to read style, very accessible, and look at what's going to save this country. I think small business is what's going to save this country. And so entrepreneurs are and have been the backbone. And if you can go find the money you need to follow your vision and have a great vision, then God bless you and go do it.
Hear, hear. I love it. Steve, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Thank you. My website is MrAllBiz.com. That's MrAllBiz.com. And for your listeners, in fact, I have a freebie up there right now. You can get onto my Small Business Success Seekers newsletter. I'm giving that away free right now.
Wow.
Or you can go to Amazon.com and find my book, Get Your Business Funded, or you can visit me at USAtoday.com on the money section. My column appears there every week called Ask an Expert.
Ah, that is great. Steve, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Love your show. Thanks so much.
Take care.